Hey y'all, welcome to The Forbidden Middle, the podcast where we ask the questions that make church potlucks awkward and Bible study groups suddenly go silent. I'm Rachel Leveron, your host, an occasional heretic, depending on who you ask. This is not your grandma's Sunday school. We're diving into doubts and questions you were told to never bring up. The forbidden questions. While we're at it, we'll also tackle real life stuff like culture, doubt, relationships, anxiety, and why all of a sudden everyone on Instagram considers themselves to be theologians. So clutch your pearls, grab your coffee, and let's wander into the middle ground. Welcome to the Forbidden Middle. Today, we're going to discuss why we're paying for Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. I don't know about y'all, but I've always wondered that. Like, they were in the garden, they sinned. Why is this on me now? I didn't do it. I didn't eat the fruit, right? And why does a decision made by two people thousands of years ago affect the entire human race, even today? So we'll explore this from a biblical perspective, walk through relevant scripture, and discuss what it means for us spiritually and personally. Let's start with the story from Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17, God commands Adam, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat it, you will surely die." But then comes Genesis 3, verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate." This disobedience, known as the fall, wasn't just about eating fruit. It was rebellion, a rejection of God's authority, and a choice to define good and evil on human terms. And this is where the consequences begin. Immediately after their sin, Adam and Eve experienced shame and separation from God. Genesis 3, verse 7 and 8 tells us, "Then both of their eyes were open, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." There's the judgment. The judgment came after. Pain in childbirth for Eve in Genesis 3, verse 16. Hard labor for Adam, Genesis 3, 17 through 19. And then they were banished from Eden, Genesis 3, verse 24. And most critically, death entered the world. Romans 5, 12, ESV, explains the theological impact. It says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Here's the key. Adam's sin opened the door to death, both physical and spiritual, for all of humanity. Okay? So, let's ask the hard question. Why are we punished for something we didn't do? Romans 5, 18 to 19 gives us more insight on this. It says, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. By the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners." This concept is called federal headship in theology, okay? Adam, as the first human, was the representative of humanity. Just like the president signs a law that affects the whole country, Adam's decision impacted everybody. But this isn't just about punishment. The Bible shows what Adam lost, Christ restores, right? Psalms 51, verse 5 says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, this doesn't mean that a baby is guilty for sin it hasn't committed, right? Now, come on. But that human condition, our tendency to sin, has been inherited. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It explains why even like young kids, they disobey, lie, or they act selfishly before they're even taught to. Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 3 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, carrying out the desires of your body and your mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." So sin is now, you could say, our spiritual DNA, right? Here's where the gospel breaks through. In Romans 5, verse 15, "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift abounded for many. Just as Adam's disobedience brought death, Christ's disobedience brings life." In 1 Corinthians 15:22, I think this verse summarizes it beautifully. "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." Jesus is the second Adam, a new representative who perfectly obeyed where Adam failed. So, yes, we inherited Adam's sin. But the message of the cross is that we don't have to remain in that state. Okay? In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Christ, we are rescued from the curse of Adam and given a new identity. We're no longer defined by what Adam did, but what Jesus did." Right? Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." So while it may seem unjust to suffer for someone else's sin, like, okay, they did this, I wasn't there, I didn't take from the tree, I didn't do any of this, so what? Why, right? Why, God, why? In God's perfect justice and mercy, he made a way for us to benefit from someone else's righteousness. That's Jesus. So why are we paying for Adam and Eve's sin? Because we're connected to them by nature, by representation, and by spiritual inheritance. But through Jesus Christ, we are offered a new inheritance, one of grace, forgiveness, and eternal life. As Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Okay, you guys, thanks for listening to The Forbidden Middle. If you found today's episode meaningful, share it with a friend. And consider reading Romans 5 through 8 on your own. Don't just take what I say and go to the bank with it. Read the Bible yourself. Research it yourself. Pray about it. Don't just listen to a podcast and just take what they say and amen the podcast all day. Research, do the research yourself, okay? Then, like I said, read Romans 5 through 8. And, I mean, it's a life-changing section of scripture. Until next time, walk in grace and seek truth.